The next presentation is about exploring the effects of Pokemon Go vandalism on OSM. And it's being presented by Tessio Novak. Please, we have 20 minutes.
Thank you for the introduction. I'm a postdoc researcher here at GIS Science Institute. So welcome to Heidelberg from my part, as this is my current living town. I'm participating in this work together with three researchers from different universities in Florida. The first author being Levente Juhas. He is part of the organizing committee of the academic track. And it's my pleasure and honor to be here and present this work. I'm going to talk about vandalism, Pokemon, and OSM, and how those things related, more or less. So this is my outline for today, pretty standard. I'll start with an introduction, then methodology results, and then I'll wrap it up with summary and future work. And I'll start by saying a few words about Pokemon and how it relates both to constructive mapping and vandalism in OSM. Then I'll present the goal of our work, and then move on to the methodology and so on. So yeah, Pokemon is an augmented reality mobile game. You play with your smartphone, and the goal is to locate and capture those virtual creatures, those virtual flying monsters. And by playing it, you are required to go to different places in the map and collect points, capture those creatures there. You can also interact with other players. And so it's a really interactive game, both with the environment and with other people. And the thing is that it has a really high popularity even today. At its peak of popularity in 2016, it had almost 30 million different users playing it every day. And so today, there are roughly 10 million people playing it. And what you see in this picture there is a so-called gym. I think it's where people get together to battle against stronger Pokemons and extra, and also to exchange points and do all sorts of interactions in the game. And I really wouldn't have anything against it, except that there's one so-called jeans right beside my office. I took this picture on Wednesday, and it's ironic because they were really disturbing me as I was trying to prepare this presentation. But there are not just negative aspects from the game. There are also a lot of positive ones as well. So there are plenty of evidence that Pokemon playing is associated with outdoor activity, so with physical activity. It also is known to increase local businesses, because after all, these people are buying something to drink or whatever as they play. And it turns out that it actually inspired different citizen science projects, right? So I brought this article here from Nature, where it says that scientists are urging Pokemon players to keep an eye on potential new species and just thus maybe transforming existing taxonomies. And another very representative example is PhotoQuest Go, which is a citizen science project and application for collecting land use and land cover data. And it has gamification and community principles, just as Pokemon Go has. OSM is the background map from Pokemon, and the players discovered that spawn points, these are where points where Pokemon creatures appear, are influenced by certain features of the map. So they started big communication in specialized forums, as you see on the left-hand side, and also dedicated websites for gaming. Sometimes post articles with instructions on how to map in OSM. So potentially there's a new community of constructive mappers that can come from Pokemon players, because the idea is that by inserting features on the map that influence the appearance of those creatures, they will both contribute to the map as well as get advantage by collecting the appearing creatures that will appear on these features that they are inserting. As I said, I mean the OSM community seems to welcome this potential large mass of new mappers. This is attested by a page from OSM Wiki where it says, well, there's a flurry of new mapping editing activity coming from Pokemon. The players have discovered that there's an association of Pokemon appearance and certain features on the map, and it also instructs mappers, or players, I should say, to map correctly and not insert in existing things just to get advantage in the game. So, but unfortunately, there is not just constructive mapping emerging from Pokemon players, but also vandalism, right? This is the topic of my talk here today. What you see in this picture is a very extreme example, because footpaths are especially associated with those spawn points where Pokemon creatures appear, and this user inserted, I don't know, hundreds of footpaths in what is a park area, vegetated area, just to get advantage from it. And also, certain Pokemon creatures are associated to land use types. For instance, there are certain monsters or creatures that appear in lakes, so people will map swimming pools as lakes. They might map a forest as a park, just so that these creatures will appear there and they will be able to collect them. So this is the underlying cause of Pokemon-related vandalism in OSM. Of course, vandalism is an important topic because it kind of undermines the reputation of OSM. I brought this example where a vandal actually changed the name of New York to Geotropolis. And somehow, map services that are based on Mapbox showed the map with, instead of the name New York, Geotropolis, and that looks really bad to our images, so we should definitely put efforts in avoiding such situations. And so vandalism detection is an important thing, especially because according to Linus' law, any type of vandalism or bugs will eventually be corrected, but it's unlikely that all harmful edits will be detected, and at least in a short period of time. So there is some related work on vandalism in OSM. The OSM wiki, for instance, provides tools for reverting suspicious editing, and also provides guidelines on how to manage vandalism. And it also provides a few suggestions on how to detect vandalism, but these are mostly very simple rule-based strategies and that not always work, right? So, and this takes into consideration, for instance, very long tag names or very new users that produce a lot of edits in a short period of time, or change sets with a very large number of edits. So these are hints that these are probably change sets that are disrupting the map, right? In academic literature, there's also a few papers on that. The paper from Pascal Nice continues to be a reference from my perspective. We'll not get much into that because time limitation here. So I'll move on to the goal of our work, which was really to undertake some first exploratory analysis on what we say is the nature and life cycle of Pokemon Go related vandalism, but also to focus on how the OSM community respond to such cases of vandalism. So going on to the methodology, what we did, we used the change set dump to get all the existing change sets made until now, and we applied this search string on it. So what you see here So Pokemon, Poke are stems, and on the other side of the AND operator, you see three verbs, and because these are stems, regardless of the verb tense of these verbs in the comments of the chain sets, we will get those chain sets as our data. So I'll demonstrate how it works. So we apply this search string in all chain sets, and then we will collect a few chain sets. So this would be one case. So there's a comment there that says reverted chain set blah blah and parts of chain set blah blah because of Pokemon vanillin. So it contains the stems we are using in our search stream, and then we look for 8 digits integers in those comments to detect the chain sets that are being fixed or corrected, reverted, as you wish to call it. Right, so in this case, we would collect then those two chain sets. So we have then both the fixed chain sets and the vandalism ones. Another approach that we applied, in case there was no indication of the chain sets that were being corrected at the comments, we took a look at the previous versions of all the edits that were made. And in the case that all those edits came from a single chain set, then we used that as well in our analysis. So in case those edits are coming from different chain sets, then there were no way to know which one was from vandalism, which one was another type of valid chain set. So we discarded those cases altogether. So what we have now then is a large group of chain sets categorized into vandalism fixes, and we have the respective users or creator of the chain sets, which we also tag as vandals and fixers. So this is our database, actually. So we got pretty much all data that you can get with the main API from the chain sets, from the users, and from the edits. So from the chain sets, as I said, we categorize them into fixed and vandalism. We also save the timestamp, the user ID, tags, number of changes, etc. We created a network connecting fixing chain sets to vandalism chain sets, and that allows us, among other things, to calculate the time difference between vandalism act and its respective repair. From the users, we categorize them as vandals and fixers, as I said. We collect also the age, which is the time since the creation of the account in OSM. Also computed the number of chain sets those user creators, number of edits, and so on. And from the edits, we categorize them into creation, modification, and deletion. And we are currently working on saying what type of feature is being added, and for that we are using this JOSM presets, but this is ongoing work which will allow us to assess what features are the object of vandalism in OSM. So as I said, we categorize the users into vandals and fixers, but it turns out that things are a little bit more complex than that. So you see in this case here the same user appears at vandalism at first on the left-hand side, and he's not really a beginner because he has already 90 chain sets edited, and then 9 chain sets after that, he or she was actually detected as correcting another chain set. So this is probably a case of someone that acted at least in some occasion as a vandal, then turned out to be actually someone that's, 5 minutes, yeah, better rush, that's correcting those cases. So going on to the results here, so what you see on the first two graphs above are the first one is the monthly number of chain sets identified as vandalism in orange and fixes thereof, and on the middle, this is the number of monthly users engaged in vandalism and fixes. So it's very interesting to see those peaks here in the time axis, and we assume this is related somewhat to map updates from Pokemon. So every time the map gets updated, some of the vandalism acts get deleted, they get, because they get corrected by your community. So that triggers vandals to act in vandalism again so that they get advantage once again in the game. And the last graph here shows that this is the cumulative number of users engaging in vandalism and fixes. And so the number of people fixing it stays relatively steady here, meaning that these are the same people actually engaging in correcting the cases, whereas the cases of vandalism, the number of users engaged in vandalism tends to grow with time. So this is the graph showing the number of vandalism change sets by the time taken to correct them in hours. So most cases get corrected actually in the first few hours, but there are cases that take a long time to be corrected. And but 50% is corrected in less than 8 hours, and average time is 90 days, and two out of three of those chain sets are fixed within 1 day. So you see the lines here are kernel density estimations. The gray areas are the confidence of interval. And the green area stands for average time take to fix the vandalism chain sets. And the orange line stands for the vandalized chain sets. So there is an inverse relationship here, meaning that at times where you have lots of cases of vandalism, the community is fixing those really, really quickly. Whereas when you have little cases or few cases, then the community is mostly focusing on correcting older cases of vandalism. These two graphs here show a correlation of time and time taken to correct the vandalism acts. So here in this case, you have single cases of vandalism and how much time it took them, the community, to correct them. And this is the decreasing line, so there's a negative correlation here, and this is statistically significant, which allows us to say that the time taken to discover those and fix those vandalism acts is actually decreasing. Same thing on the right-hand side here. This is average by month, and again, it's a negative correlation and is statistically significant. So this is the amount of users engaging in vandalism in time. So most of them are first-time vandals, whereas on the right-hand side, you have the number of people correcting it, and most of them are returning users. So these are the same guys that corrected vandalism before that continue to act as fixers of vandalism cases. So as I showed before, the number of vandals is constantly increasing, whereas the number of users correcting it, it's steady. Vandals are usually very young users, so 50% of them have created their accounts in less than 35 minutes before they engage in disruptive editing, where our fixers are there for 5 years, more or less. So do you see that on the distributions here? So the distribution of the fixers is much more distributed, much more even, whereas this one is much tailed. Okay, just a second. So this regards the editor software users. So vandals are editing using mostly their IDE, so the most standard way, whereas fixers are using more sophisticated tools, which demonstrate that they are more experienced and know how to handle those tools to fix vandalism cases. We also inspected discussions between vandals and fixers. So there are cases where there's pretty constructive and civilized discussion, which indicates that some vandals are actually transformed into constructive mappers after they get approached by the community. So going on to the summary and future work then. Wrapping it up then, I'd like to say the OSM community seems to be getting better at discovering vandalism. Vandalism is not sustained by the same users, but always from different ones. Fixes are sustained by a dedicated and small community. And communication is helpful. And we are now working towards a detection mechanism to identify vandalism cases in an automatic way in a very time-effective way. So for future work, we intend to consider and explore other metrics, as I said, to formalize a binary classifier for detecting vandalism, and then to extend our findings to other cases of vandalism and not just Pokemon Go. Yeah, that was a short time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. We have about 3 minutes for question time, and then afterwards there's going to be an exchange of sessions. So we have two mics. One is there, so just raise your hand and then we bring the mic.
Thanks. That was really interesting. It looks like there were two big spikes in the vandalism. Do you know what those big spikes correspond to?
Yeah, as I said, that's a very good question. Not able to provide a definitive answer, but I think they are related to updates made by Niantic, is the company that runs Pokemon Go. So every time it updates the map, because the vandalism acts get corrected by the community, so they disappear from the Pokemon Go map, I assume that vandals engage in vandalizing again so that they regain their advantages. This is one hypothesis that we have, but yeah. And it's nice to know that there are all these peaks, because you can concentrate when those peaks happen, so you can concentrate on those when trying to detect vandalism X automatically.
Thank you. Any more? Okay, we have one here.
Do you know how many of the vandals were actually malicious versus the people who actually didn't know that they were doing anything wrong, sort of just came in there and thought that it's okay to do something like this?
Yeah, that happened quite a few times. I tried to show that because of lack of time, I had to rush it. But exactly, yeah, some of them didn't really know they were destroying things. So once they get approached, they eventually became constructive mappers. So you can look at the presentation afterwards, but there's one dialogue here where person from the community says, okay, correct that please, and the guy says, okay, sorry, I corrected that, and I'll next time use this link as an instruction to map it correctly, and say, yeah, thank you. So that happens a lot, and I'm generalizing and calling everyone vandal here, but of course there are many different cases and many different motivations for people to provide false information. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there more questions? Oh, we have another. I might consider another. Okay, please, let me consider a different person.
I'm Thierry from Brazil. Finally, what is your perception? Do you think that the Pokemon population and community is likely to provide good mappers for SM, or you are not very much enthusiastic, you're not enthusiastic at all about it?
No, I am enthusiastic, I think, and the community is enthusiastic as well, otherwise they wouldn't have put our OSM wiki dedicated especially to that, and if you see the narrative on that page, it goes in the direction, okay, we've seen a bunch of you coming, so be welcome, and just make sure that you map correctly, so that's my perception of it, and probably the majority of Pokemon mappers, I call it that way, is contributing actually. They are constructive mappers, but there are a few of them which is actually destroying it. Yeah. But here, you see our search string was Pokemon and then revert, reconstruct. Probably if we have chosen another search string, we would detect those cases of constructive mapping related to Pokemon players, coming from Pokemon players.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I'll allow one more question and then we can close. Please.
So just a quick question again. So it seems like there's definitely a use case for a layer called Pokemon Go somewhere. And I don't think, I think people just want to take advantage of the great tools we have for OSM for their own specific cases. So is there a recommendation how they can use them to build their own custom layers of things?
I'm not sure I got the question correctly, sorry. Could you repeat this?
Can you?
I think. UMAP, perhaps? As a layer, a custom layer on top of OpenStreetMap.
Okay, I guess it's more of a comment than a question, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so yeah, the question is answered. Thank you very much. Let's give one round of applause for Tessio.